Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches. And we begin, second line from the top, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, with a discussion that we had yesterday. In yesterday's share, we talked about that a Gezar Din, once it was finalized, Nechtam Gemar Din, so then you cannot change it if it's for an individual. For a Tzibur, we said it possibly could be changed. So that's what we're now going to question. And the Gemara starts off, again, second line from the top, Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Ugzar din de yachid tanoihi. This concept of whether gzar din that's been finalized can be changed or not is in fact a machlokes. Tanoihi. And this is the following brisa supports this. Now, there'll be a little bit different opinion as to exactly how the brisa supports this, as we'll see in a moment. The Tanya. So the brisa tells us, Hayy Rav Meir Omer, Rav Meir said, Shnayim sha'alu lemita, v'chol yon shavet. Two people that get sick. Reuven and Shimon both get sick, and they both are nebuch bedridden. And they have the exact same illness. V'chein, or alternatively, shtayim sh'olu legardom. Gardom literally means an axe. And Rashi explains over here, it means they went to a court, a beis vad, shedonim bo nefashos lariga, and they judged capital crimes. And this beis din had two people that came to the court, each accused of a capital crime, shtayim sh'olu legardom lidon v'din on shavet. And they were exact same circumstances. They were each judged for the exact same crime. Zeh Yorat, v'zeh lo Yorat. In the case of the two sick people, let's say Reuven and Shimon, Reuven got better, he left the bed, Yorat, and Shimon did not. I thought it's interesting, why do we use the terminology Yorat, he went down? So you could say physically, because the bed is elevated, and he went down from the bed. But I thought maybe interestingly that the Shechina is by the bedside. It says the Shechina is by Erez Devoy, it's by the head of the bed. And therefore, maybe since you're leaving the Shechina, it's a Yerida, and that's why it uses the Lashon Yorat. Okay, in any event, one of them got better, left the bed, and the other one did not. Likewise, in the case where the two people charged with similar crimes to the exact same circumstances, Zelonitzal, one of them was saved from the capital crime, Zelonitzal, the other one was not. Now, the brides ask, Mipnei maze yorad, Zelo yorad. Mipnei maze nitzal, Zelo nitzal. Why was one person healed and the other person was not? Why was one person saved by the judges and the other person was not? So the Gemara says, the price continues, because zeh is spalo v'nana, but zeh is spalo v'lo nana, because this one davened, and he was answered, and this one davened, and did not answer. So why? Why was one person's tefillah answered, and the other person's tefillah was not? Whether it was the case of the sick people, or the case of being judged for the capital crime. How come there was a difference? If they both davened the exact same situation, why did one get answered, and one did not? So the price concludes and says, zeh is spalo tefillah shleima nana. The one who davened the complete, full tefillah shleima, he davened with kavana, he davened with a bright idea behind his davening, he was answered, and he either got healed, or he was saved from the capital crime. V'zeh lo hispalel tefillah shleima lo nana. And the one that didn't daven properly, for whatever it means, he didn't daven properly, so he didn't daven in a way that would effectuate that he would be healed from his illness, or would be saved from the capital crime. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Brisa continues, and says, two other opinions. The first one is Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Rabbi Elazar says, Kan kodim gzar din, kan li achar gzar din. Ah, this Rabbi Elazar is exactly like we said yesterday. Before the gzar din, so then there is a potential for the person to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and have the gzar din change, because it hasn't been finalized yet. However, after li achar, kan li achar gzar din, so once the gzar din for an individual, such as the sick person, or the one being accused of a capital crime, once the gzar din in Shemayim has been decreed, so then there is no going back, and that's why the one who davened was davening after the gzar din, and therefore he wasn't answered. So clearly, the opinion of Rabbi Elazar goes in accord with what we learned yesterday, kan kodim gzar din, kan li achar gzar din, in terms of an individual's tefillah being able to be answered for a gzar din to change. Did the Tanakhama also hold like that? So some suggest that the Tanakhama, Rav Meir, in fact held that no, because if you daven the tefillah shleima, even after the gzar din, it could be changed. Because things can occur even after the gemar din. It's only because if you daven improperly that you aren't answered, but it has nothing to do with the gzar din, so therefore some suggest that Rav Meir is the other opinion that we're looking for to argue with Rabbi Elazar. But then we have a third opinion, and many suggest that the third opinion is the one that we're referring to as the Machlokes Tanoim. And that is the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak Omar, Yofetz Okel Liodam, Ben Kodim Gzardin, Ben Li Achar Gzardin. A person calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it can work certainly before the Gzardin, but it can even work after the Gzardin. So certainly this opinion, Rabbi Yitzchak, is arguing with the Brisa that we had yesterday, and it's arguing obviously with Rabbi Elazar, and this opinion says that tzaka helps, tefillah helps, even after the Gemara did. Gemara continues and says, "Ugzar din de tzibur mi mikra." In yesterday's share, we also said that if a tzibur had a gzar din, so then the tzibur certainly could have that gzar din ripped up. Even though it was finalized, the tzibur, the power of the tzibur, could make the gzar din not be coming to fruition. It doesn't have to occur. Even though it was finalized, their true doing tshuva and their true tefillah can eradicate a gzar din on a tzibur. So whose opinion is that? Where it says, is that really true? Because I'll show you the two psukim that seems to suggest otherwise. You have one pasuk, this pasuk is in Yirmiyahu, and it tells us, kabsi, go and clean yourself, meirah libech, from the evil in your heart. And that implies that you can clean yourself. In other words, you can do tshuva. And that will eradicate the ra in your heart. And in other words, you won't be punished. But then another pasuk says, also in Yirmiyahu, and it says, uksiv, ki im tekabsi by neser, even if you were to clean yourself with neser, neser is like a very strong type of cleansing agent. Or, v'sarbi loch boris, and you were to use a lot of another type of cleansing agent, like boris, nichtam avonech lefonai, your sins will always be a stain in front of me. In other words, once the gzar din is finalized, then even the tzibor is not going to have it changed. So my lab, the Gemara says, isn't this proving that the tzibor's gzar din doesn't change? Isn't the first situation where it said, kabsi merol libech, that's my lab, kan kodem gzar din, and the second pasuk which says, no matter how much neser and boris you put on it, you're not going to clean your sins, kan liach gzar din. So here clearly you see that Yirmiyahu is telling us that even for a tzibor, once the gzar din is signed and sealed, that's it, it can't be changed. So Gemara says, no, that's incorrect, lo. Edi v'edi, both psukim and Yirmiyahu are talking le'ach gzar din. The pasuk that says you could do tshuva, and the pasuk said that the gzar din can change, and the other pasuk that says no matter how much you try to do tshuva, no matter how much you try to eradicate the stain, it's a fait accompli. The gzar din is done. So both of them are talking about after the gzar din. So how come the first pasuk says that there could be a potential for tshuva, and the second pasuk says there is no potential for tshuva? So the Gemara answers that even though both are talking about le'achar gzar din, kam b'gzar din she'eshi moshvua, kam b'gzar din she'eni moshvua. Therefore, the tzibor, there is potential to remove a gzar din as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't also accompany it with a shvua that he would uphold that gzar din. And then, if he didn't make a shvua, the gzar din could be changed. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the gzar din and he made it with a shvua, so then nothing can change that. No matter what you do, no matter how much boris, no matter how much cleaning you do, it's not going to work. You won't be able to go and have this gzar din overturned. And this is in accord with Rav Shmuel Bar Ami. This is in accord with what Rav Shmuel Bar Ami said. What did he say? The Amr of Shmuel Bar Ami, or alternatively, the Amr law Amr of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amr of Yonasan, whichever one of these two Amorim it was, either Rav Shmuel Bar Ami or Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, the name of Yonasan. That is exactly what we're talking about, that once a gzar din is done, even for the tzibor, but there's a shvu attached to it, it cannot be ripped off. That gzar din, unfortunately, is irrevocable. Where do we see this from? Because we have a pasuk. The pasuk tells us, this is a pasuk that we find in Shmuel Aleph, and it says, Shenemar, v'lochei nishbati leves Eli. HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore about the house of Eli. Eli was a great, great Kohen Gadol. Great tzaddik, he was the Rebbe of Shmuel HaNavi, but he had two sons, Chofni and Pinchas, that the Gemara elsewhere says that they did certain things incorrectly. They delayed the women from bringing korbanos, they caused them to be away from their husbands, they grabbed the food from the korbanos without having the right to go and take it. So on a certain level, Chofni and Pinchas did things wrong, and therefore the house of Eli was punished. And it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore, V'lechein nishbati leveis Eli. Now, Beis Eli is considered a community. It's considered a tzibor because it's not just one person. It's the entire household. So here there was a shvua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Beis Eli that he says, no matter what, I will not accept tshuva from the house of Beis Eli with a zevach or a mincha. If you try to bring korbanos, which normally comes with tshuva, you try to bring a korban mincha, which normally comes with tshuva, I will not accept it. In other words, I will not revoke this gzar din that the household of Eli will die very young age, and the kuhuna gadol was taken away from them, and all the men in that household will die at a young age. So that was a gzar din that was very strict, and it could not be removed, even if they bring a lot of zevach and mincha and do tshuva, because it was accompanied by a shvua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rava. Rava now adds. Now that's the Girsa that we have. In the Masoras Hashas, he says this should be Rabba. So either Rava or Rabba, we'll see. We'll have a moment later where it says Rabba and it says it should be Rava. So this will depend on who we're talking about, as we'll see. So Amar Rava, b'zevach u'b'mincha eino miskaper. A person cannot go and bring zevach u'mincha on behalf of the community, the house of Eli. They can't go and bring zevach u'mincha. That won't work. However, avu miskaper b'torah. But Rava, and again, some suggest that this is Rava, said that if you learn Torah, that could be miskaper. And Abai disagrees. Abai Amar, b'zevach u'mincha eino miskaper. The pasuk tells us that b'zevach u'mincha won't be miskaper, but it's not only Torah. Avu miskaper b'torah u'b'gemilas chasodim. There's two roots that you can go in a tone over here, either by Torah or by Gemilas Chasodim. The Avoda, the pillars of the world, Al-Shol Tuzorim Ha'olamei, Al-Tarav Yal Avoda, Al-Gemilas Chasodim, so Avoda didn't work. That's what the Pasuk tells us. No matter how many Zvachim or Minchos that you bring, it will not work. But the Pasuk does imply, according to Abaye, that Torah and Gemilas Chasodim, they would still work. So the difference between, let's call it Rabba, because Rabba, we know, is really the next piece of Gemara. It is classically Rabba and not Rava, even though we'll have a Masoras Hashas that changes that around to Rava. Let's assume that this is Rabba. So Rabba was a Kohen, and therefore he was from the house of Eli, and Abaye was a Kohen. He was also from the house of Eli. Abaye was the nephew of Rabba. This is Rabba Bar Nachmeni. In any event, both of them were destined to die young. Abaye and Rabba were destined to die young. As we'll see in a moment in the Gemara, they would die before the age of 20. However, each of them did what they thought, according to their shita, would prevent their death. So Rabba said that you can be miskaper with Torah. So therefore, he was given an additional 20 years of life, as we'll see in the next story. Whereas Abaye, who said it's both Torah and Gemilas Chasodim, and he did both, so he was given an extra 40 years of life. And now we'll see that inside of the Gemara right now. So this machlokes between Rabba and Abaye tells us what you can do to change around this Gemara din. So, Rabba v'Abayim in the base Eli Kosu. The Girsa that we have is Rabba and Abayim. Some give the Girsa over here that it was Rabba. But we don't really have any proof. As Tosus points out, that Rabba was from a Kohen, but he was from the base Eli. In any event, let's just assume that this is the Girsa that we have. It is Rabba and Abayim. They came from the house of Eli, and therefore they were going to die very young. But Rabba, the Osak Torah, since Rabba used Lishitosu, that only Torah helps, so he spent a lot of time studying Torah, Chaya Arboy Mishnin. He was Zocha to live an additional 20 years. So he lived to the age of 40. And Abaye, the Osak B'Torah, but not only Torah, Ugmilas Chasodim, as Rashi says, both of them are perfectly good routes to go and rip up this Gzar Din from the house of Eli. So Chaya Shisin Shnin. He learned Torah and did Gmilas Chasodim. So he got 20 years for each of them, and therefore he lived for an additional 40 years above the age of 20 that he was destined to live. And that's because he did both of these things, Torah and Gemilas Chasodim. Similarly, the Braisa tells us, Tanu Rabbanan, Mishpocha Achas Sois of Yerushalayim, there once was a family in Yerushalayim, Shahayu Meseha, that the people who died in that family, Mason B'nei Shmona Esrei Shana, they died at a very young age. They died when they were only 18 years old. So they didn't know what to do. So they went to ask Shaila from the Gadol Hador. So Bova Adir was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So they went to the Gadol Hador of Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he said, what should we do? How can we prevent our children from dying at a young age? So Amalhem, so Yochanan ben Zakkai tells him, Shemo mi mishpachas Eli atem, maybe you're from the house of Eli. And therefore, the Pasuk says, Dechsib bei v'chol marbis beisecha yomusu anoshim, that your entire household will die when they're still anoshim. In other words, when they are young men. So they all will die by the age of 20. So therefore, maybe that's why, and therefore, the only way to counteract that, l'chu v'isku b'torah v'ichyu, go and study Torah. Everybody agreed, both Rabba and Abaye said that the study of Torah will definitely help you live longer. So that's what they did. So this family, they went and they learned Torah. So l'chu v'isku b'torah. And what happened, v'choyu, when the children no longer died at the age of 18, they died at a later point in time. And therefore, this family was so thankful to Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai by Yukorin Oso, Mishpachas. Now, we have the Girsa, Rabba and Yochanan El Shemo, but others just have the Girsa. So they called this family Yochanan, based upon the advice that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai had given them. The Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Shmuel bar Inya, Mishmei de Rav. Rav Shmuel bar Inya said it over the name of the Rav. Minayin l'gzardin shol tzibur sheno nechtam. How do we know that the gzardin on a tzibur is never finalized? It can always be undone. Mar says, what? Eino nechtam? You're telling me that it's not nechtam? V'aksiv, Nechtam avonech lefanai. Your stain will be present in front of me forever. So how can you tell me that it will go away? So Rav Shmuel bar Inya, saying it over the name of Rav, seems to be incorrect. So the Gemara answers, no. Elo afal gav shenechtam. The chiddush over here is, even though it was signed and sealed and finalized, nevertheless, nikra. It can be ripped up and the din will be changed. And this is based upon the pasuk. Find this in the Dvar. Ki mi goy godol asher lo elokim krovim elov. And the end of the pasuk is what the Gemara quotes. Kashem elokeinu b'chol koreinu elov. That we're always close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he will always answer us. In other words, even after the Gzar Din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer our tefillos. So everything can be ripped up. The Gemara says, how can you tell me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol koreinu elov? We have another pasuk that says, "Boksiv dir shu Hashem b'motso." You should seek out Hashem when He can be found. In other words, He's not always able to be found, so to say, and you should seek Him out at that time. But other times, you won't be successful. How does that jibe with Hashem lokeinu b'chol kareinu elav? So Gemara says it depends. Hosom b'yochid. When it says that dir shu Hashem b'motso, only at select times, that's for the individual. However, hocha b'tzibur, when it says Hashem lokeinu b'chol kareinu elav, He's always around, that's referring to the tzibur. In other words, the tzibur has a direct or more strong connection. That's why we always say it's so important to daven with the tzibur. Because on your own, you may not merit something, but when you're with the tzibur's strength can push something through that otherwise might not have gone through on your own. So Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me for an individual, Dir Hashem b'himotso, you should seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he can be found. When is that? B'yochid emas. For an individual, when should a person daven? Now, we've already discussed previously, it never, ever is an inappropriate time to daven. A person should always daven. However, there are times that are more prone or more potentially optimistic for a person to daven. There are times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, is sitting on the Kisei Rachamim, and that's when it's most opportune to daven. So when is that? So Amar Rabba Baravua, Elu Asar Yomim, Shebein Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim. That's exactly what we're talking about. During the Aseres Mei Tshuva. And that's why we always darshan this pasuk, Dirshu Hashem b'motzau, that we can find Hashem, an individual especially can find Hashem during the Aseres Mei Tshuva. Again, not to suggest for a second that the rest of the year your davening is not necessary or that it's not important. Chas v'sholom is always important, but it can be even more successful during the period of time of the Aseres Mei Tshuva. That's why we try to do certain things during the Aseres Mei Tshuva to demonstrate that we really want to do Tshuva, even if we know we're not going to be able to keep them up for the rest of the year. Then the Gemara continues and says, where do we get this Aseres Mei Tshuva period of time from? So it's an amazing thing. It comes from David HaMelech and Novel. Novel was the husband of Abigail, and he unfortunately was a very bad person. And what happened was that David came to him and protected him, and then subsequently when Shaul tried to kill David, David ran away, and he was needing help in terms of food for his army and for his men. So he went to Novel and sent 10 men there, and Novel did not supply David with any food. No, he gave those 10 men a meal, but he didn't give David any other food. So he had a stroke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him have a stroke in Rosh Hashanah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him have 10 days to repent for not treating David appropriately. David had helped him out, and Mida Keneged Mida, he should have helped David out, and had lack of Hakaras HaTov, so therefore he was punished. He was given 10 days to do tshuva. Why was he given 10 days, as the Gemara will say? Because of the 10 meals that he gave to those 10 soldiers. He gave each of them one meal. So therefore, in that zuchus, he was given 10 additional days. He didn't do tshuva, and he died on Yom Kippur. And that's what the Gemara is going to tell us now. Vahi b'aseres hayomim. It was after the 10 days, v'yigof Hashem is Novel. Hashem killed Novel after that point in time. He had given him a stroke earlier, 10 days at Rosh Hashanah, 10 days before Yom Kippur. He was given 10 days to do tshuva, and he did not. So, Asar Yamin, my Avritayu, where did this 10 days come from? Some of you, the Amar Rav, if you say name of Rav, Kineged Esar Legimos, it was Kineged, the 10 portions of food, Shinoasa and Novel, the Abdi David, that Novel and Kach Shemo, the Mephoshim explained that he was a Novel. A Novel is a disparaging type of remark about a person. He was obnoxious, he was terrible. So, he was a Novel, and that was his name. So, Novel gave the Abdi David. Eat 10 of them came, and he gave each of them a meal. Masoros Hashar says that when that goes to the word Omar, so Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravua, then said, these 10 days, that's what these 10 days were, and we have that for all time, that this is the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. Now quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said on Rosh Hashanah, the world is judged, all the creatures of the world are judged one at a time. We didn't explain fully what B'nai Moron was. I only gave you the first answer. We're going to have the Gemara. We're going to have three answers in the Gemara right now. And the Gemara asks, my Kibnei Moron. What does it mean that everybody will pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu like the B'nai Moron? So the first answer, which I said when we did the Mishnah, Hacha Tagimu Kibnei Amrona. In Bavel, so they translated it with the Aramaic word, Imrona. B'nai Meiron comes from the Lashon of Imrona. Imrona is sheep. And therefore, just like when a person wants to take off Maisa Behema, he has to have the sheep go through one at a time, and he slaps the tenth one with red paint, and he says, this is Maisa Behema. So, too, you can't let them go through more than one at a time. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges every single creature in the world by itself, one at a time. So that's what it means, Kibnei Moron. We're judged, just like the sheep go through one at a time through the corral. There's very small openings that only one sheep can get through at a time. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges each and every one of us separately by ourselves. That's the first interpretation of Bnei Moron. Reish Lakish gives a second interpretation. Lav Dafka didn't disagree with each other. Reish Lakish Amar, he says, Kimalos Beis Moron. Others have the Girsa. You can see this in the Soros HaShas, Beis Choron. So this is a very narrow place, Rashi explains. Haderech Kotzer, it's a very narrow road. Vein Shtai Michon Lelech, Zebetzad Zeh. So just like with the sheep, only one could get through the corral at a time for the Maisa Behema, so too this road was very, very narrow. Only one person or sheep could pass through this at any one point in time, and therefore it was known as the Milos of Beis Moron or Beis Choron, and that is analogous over here to the B'nai Moron. And the third teretz, again we delete the word Omar, is Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. And what did he say? Kechayalo Shel Beis David. This refers to the soldiers of Beis David. As Rashi says, they were like Kibnei Moron. Why is that? Kibnei Chayalo Shel Melech. Because Moron is a lashon of Morus, the Agnus. So they serve, these soldiers serve the king. And they march single file. And therefore, each one is seen individually. So that's what it means, Chayalo Shel Beis David. So we have three interpretations over here for the Bnei Moron. Each of them is essentially saying the same thing. They're giving different examples of it, how each one goes through individually, whether it's sheep going through the corral individually, or whether it's people going on these pathways that are very narrow in the Beis Moron, or it was the soldiers of David HaMelech marching single file. So they all imply that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges every single person in the world on Rosh Hashanah, Kibnei Moron, just like the Bnei Moron, the three interpretations, so too every person is judged individually on Rosh Hashanah. But yet, even though they're all judged individually, Amar Rabba Bar Barachan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabba Bar Barachan says in the name of Yochanan, nevertheless, V'chula Niskarin B'skira Achas. Rashi explains that nevertheless, they're all judged together also. V'yathopi Shiro over Mzei Acharzei. Even though they're going through individually, they're also judged collectively. That each person has his own cheshbon, din v'cheshbon that he has to deal with, but he's also part of the community. And therefore, he's held accountable, in fact, for his interactions with the community and what the community does. So therefore, it's both of these two that are important, the individual judge himself and the individual judge as part of the community. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, said, yes, we learned the same exact thing in our Mishnah. The Mishnah on Daf Tezayin said that how do we know, how do we know that they all pass in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like this single file of the B'nai Moron, whether it's the sheep or whether it's the or those traveling on the narrow path, saw the soldiers. How do we know that that's true? Because the pasuk says, "Shenem ha'yotze yachad liban ha'mevi no kol maseim." So now we're going to darshan that, and it says as follows: "My comment, what does this pasuk mean?" So Rav Nachman Yitzchak said it means as follows: "Ilema hachi kama." If you want to suggest that this is what it means, "Divrinu lekuli alma," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everybody umiyached libayu kadode, and he made them all identical. So that's not true. V'okachazina, we personally can see very well ourselves the lav hachiyo, that not everybody's created the same. No two people are created the same. So the word says, "Ella lav hachi kama." This is what Nachum Yitzchak is telling us. Hayotzer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator, Roe Yachad Libam. He sees all of their hearts at the same time. In other words, Kula Niskarin Beskira Achas, Umevin El Kol Masem. And he knows individually what they're doing as well. So therefore, this idea that they're all judged simultaneously as well as individually, so this can be learned out in this pasuk as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on in their hearts. Okay, this concludes this very beautiful Gemara, and now we go on to the next Mishnah. Mishnah begins, and now we're going to talk a little bit about Eidus HaChodesh. Today, of course, since Hillel HaKatan came along and codified the calendar somewhere in the 4th century of our counting period, so the calendar is fixed and we don't change it. We don't have witnesses come and testify that they saw the moon, didn't see the moon, and we have our calendar fixed, certain rules. Every other month is 30 days or 29 days, with the exception of Kislev and Cheshvan. They could be possibly 29 days or 30 days. All the other months are relatively fixed. In any event, previously, we would have witnesses come and say that they saw the new moon. They were accepted. We're going to learn about this later in the Masechta. And then the moon was accepted to be seen by the Beis Din. They interrogated them, and they saw they did the bedikos, and they saw that they both witnesses said the same thing. So they would say, Makudish, 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 and that day became Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, by Re'iyah, by the visualization of the new moon, by two witnesses who were accepted by the Beis Din HaGadol, so then we could declare the new moon. So the Mishnah tells us, once the new moon was declared, so they would send out shluchim to inform the entire diaspora. Now, originally they had this beautiful system of lighting torches on the top of the mountains, which we'll learn about in an upcoming Mishnah. However, because the Kusim didn't like this, they wanted certain days, like Shavuos, to come out on a Sunday. They misinterpreted the Pesukim, so they fixed the calendar the way they wanted to, rather than the way it really was. And therefore, we had to stop that system of notifying the Golos by using the torch system, because it could be too easily faked. And instead, they sent out Shluchim, they sent out messengers for the Beis Din. And six times a year they sent it out. We'll see in a moment why only six times a year. Why not for every month? Because every month it wasn't necessary. But for these six times a year, it was necessary so that people shouldn't make a mistake. So the Mishnah begins, Al-Shisha Chadashim HaShluchim Yotzim. Once Beis Din declared it was Rosh Chodesh, so they would send out messengers to go throughout the diaspora and let the people know when Rosh Chodesh was. So Al-Nisan, the reason they sent out the witnesses after they declared Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so they should know, maybe at Pesach. So everybody should know when Pesach is. Now the Shluchim could go throughout Eretz Yisrael. It would take them 14 days to go throughout Eretz Yisrael. So everybody would know when Pesach was in Eretz Yisrael. That's why everybody in Eretz Yisrael celebrated only one day Pesach. There was never a Sveik of the Yoma. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, there is a concern that the witnesses may not come there in time. And therefore, you have Sveik of the Yoma, because they don't know. Was Rosh Chodesh a 29-day month or a 30-day month? And therefore, the Beis Din sent out shluchim, messengers, to let people know. So for Nisan, they had to let people know, so they would know when Pesach was. Likewise, for the month of Av, Al-Av, Mipnei HaTainis, they sent out witnesses to let people know when Tisha B'Av was. Very simple, straightforward. Only problem is, why didn't they also send out for Shavuos? After all, Shavuos is also a holiday. They would need to know when Shavuos was. So Tosus brings down that they didn't have to send out on Shavuos. In Dibra Masla, Nisan, Mipnei HaPesach, Tosus says, Aval al-Sivan, Mipnei HaTzeres, to send out Shluchim at the beginning of Sivan, to let them know when Shavuos was, Lo Tzorach. They didn't have to do that, because Dibra Omer Hadavar Toli, because when the Shavuos come out, it doesn't come out always on the same day of the year, at least in theory. By our fixed calendar, it does. It's always the sixth day of Sivan. And Chutz La'aretz is the seventh day of Sivan as well. But in the times when they were Makadish to Chodesh, and they had Re'iyah in order to declare the month, so it's possible that the month of Nisan could be Malay or Chaser, and the month of Iyar could be Malay or Chaser. And since Shavuos always comes out 50 days after Pesach, so therefore, sometimes Shavuos, Tosafot says, could come out on the 5th of Sivan, sometimes on the 6th of Sivan, sometimes on the 7th of Sivan, depending whether both months Nisan and Iyar were Malay, both were Chaser, or one was Malay and one was Chaser. So therefore, they didn't need to send out Shluchim for Sivan, because the month was guaranteed to start on a certain day based upon when Pesach was. Okay, so they had to send out for Nisan, they had to send out for Tisha B'Av, for Av, and therefore that's two of the 6 months. Al Elo b'nei Rosh Hashanah, for the month of Elo, they also had to let people know that when Rosh Hashanah would be. So that's the third month. And then we have the fourth month on Tishrei. For Tishrei, they also had to send out Shluchim. Now, the Gemara is going to question, once you know when Elul is, and Elul was always fixed to be a month of 29 days, so then why do we need to send out for Tishrei? So we'll explain in the Gemara, Al Tishrei mibnei takonis halawados, because they wanted to make sure that everybody knew for certain when Yom Kippur and Sukkot were. So therefore, they sent out Shluchim, so there should be no doubt. Next one, Al Kislev mibnei Chanukah. For Kislev, people have to know when Chanukah was. And Bial Ador, for Purim, Mipnei HaPurim. They had to let people know when Purim would be. Ukishoya, Beis HaMikdash Kayim. Now, when the Beis HaMikdash was extant, so then, Yotzim, Af Al Iyar. They also sent out Shluchim for the month of Iyar. Why? Because Iyar would be the month when people were Tomei Meis, or were unable to go bring a Karban Pesach on Yud Dalet Nisan, so there was a makeup day, which was Yud Dalet Iyar. And therefore, if you weren't able to bring it on your Dalet Nisan, Pesach, quote, Rishon, so then you had a chance at Pesach Sheni. So therefore, they had to send these messengers out even for the month of Iyar. That's our Mishnah. The Gemara starts off and says, "V'livku nami atamuz v'teves." Wait a second. If you're telling me they sent out for Tisha B'Av, so then they should also send out for Tamuz, for Shavasa B'Tamuz, and Teves for Asar B'Teves. But they didn't do that. The Tanah of our Mishnah says nothing about that. So we turn to Yuches of Ubeis. The Amar Rav Chana Bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Bar Chasida. And I'll show you that this is a good question, because Rav Chana Bar Bizna said over the name of Amar Rav Shimon Bar Chasida. What does the pasuk mean? The famous pasuk that we have in Zechariah, telling us about the four fasts. So the standard way that we understand this is the way we're going to learn it right now. Komar Hashem, Tzvakos. Hashem, the master of all the legions, said there will be four fast days that will eventually be days of Simcha. The Tzom Arvi, which we'll understand is the Tzom that's in the fourth month, which is, of course, Tammuz. And then it says, right after that, the Tzom HaChamishi, the Tzom that's in the fifth month, which is Av. So the first one was the Chodesh Revi, that's Shavuos B'Tammuz. The second one is Chamishi, that's Tisha B'Av. The Tzom HaShvi, that's in the seventh month of Tishrei, that will be Tzom Gedalia. The Tzom HaAsiri, that's the Tzom that's in the tenth month, that's going to be Asarah B'Teves. So all of these, yeah, LeBeis Yehuda, L'Sasun L'Simcha, right now they're sad days when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So eventually they'll be very happy days. In time of the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash, they didn't have these days as days of mourning anymore, because the Beis HaMikdash had been rebuilt. So there were only days of mourning in the period of time after the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So that's what the pasuk in Zechariah tells us. Now, it says, the Tzom Harvi, Tzom Chamishi, Tzom Hashvi, Tzom Asiri, Karlu Tzom, they're all called Tzom. And nevertheless, the end of the pasuk says, Karlu Sason V'Simcha, they will be, yeah, LeBeis Yehuda, L'Sason U'L'Simcha. So what do we see from here? So the Gemara says, Bizman Sheyei Shalom, when there's peace in the world, Rashi translates, Sheyei Shalom, meaning She'ein Yad Ha'odei Kochavim Takifa Yisrael. The Goyim aren't oppressing us. That's called that there's peace in the world. Bizman Sheyei Shalom, the Goyim aren't oppressing us. So then, when we're not being oppressed by the Goyim, you L'sasun L'simcha. These fast days, which are originally sad days, will become happy days. However, Ein Shalom, there is no peace in the world. In other words, when the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, so then, in that situation, so we have to go and fast. So clearly, why weren't Shluchim sent out during the months of Tammuz and Teves? Because, after all, didn't the people have to fast? So I'm a Rapapa. Rapapa answers, it says as follows, Hochi Korah, this is what the pasuk means. Bizman sheyei shalom, when there is peace in the world, what does that mean? Like we said, when we're not being oppressed, you l'sasun l'simcha, we will go and be very happy. However, yesh gezeiras ha-malchus, if there is a gezeira from the government, from the malchus, to go and cause the Jewish people trouble, so then we have to fast. Ein gezeiras ha-malchus, however, ve'ein shalom, if there are no persecutions against us, nevertheless, there isn't peace. What does it mean there isn't peace? It means that there is no Beis HaMikdash, and nobody's rebuilding it. But at the same time, they're also not persecuting us, so in that situation, where there's ein Gzeras Hamalchus, the Ein Shalom, you have both. There's no persecution, but there's also no Shalom, there's no Beis HaMikdash. So then it's a fieldless choice. Ratzu Mesanin, Ratzu Ein Mesanin. If Klai Yisrael chooses to go and fast, so then they have the right to fast. If Klai Yisrael says, no, we're not going to fast, things are okay, so they don't have to fast. Now, before anybody gets any ideas, you don't have that option today. Today, Klai Yisrael has accepted upon themselves many, many years ago that we all fast. So therefore, these are no longer optional fasts that Klai Yisrael can take a vote every year and say, no, it's a pretty good year. Nobody's really, really harming the Jewish people, although I can't imagine, unfortunately, a year that it's ever been that all of Klai Yisrael was treated fairly. In any event, the bottom line is, if in those days Klai Yisrael decided not to fast, they had the right to do so. However, if they wish to fast, they also have the right to do so. So when there's no Xavier for the Malchus, but there's also no Beis HaMikdash, Ratzu Mesanin, Ratzu Ein Mesanin. It's a fielder's choice, they can do whatever they want. Whereas then, wait a second, Ihachi, so Tisha B'Av Nami. So wait a second, if you're telling me Shavuos B'Tammuz and the Asarah B'Teves are optional fasts, so then Tisha B'Av is also in the same category. It's not a Doraisa. It was also set up by the rabbis to commemorate the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. So if you don't have to fast for Shavuos B'Tammuz and Asarah B'Teves, so then the same rules should apply for Tisha B'Av as well. So the Kasha on Rav Papa. So I'm a Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, no, shiny Tisha B'Av. Even though I said that we don't send out people for the months of Teves and for the month of Tammuz, but we do send out for Tisha B'Av because of Tisha B'Av is different. Shiny Tisha B'Av. There were five things that the Mishnayis tell us occurred on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara here mentions four. The fifth one was caused that the Meraglim came back, and they cried about how the terror of the land of Eretz Yisrael was. Kosh Baruch Hu said, you cried a Bechiyah Shochinam, I'll give you something to cry about. You cried for naught, I'll give you something to cry about. And then additionally, once that day was Nebuch set up as a bad day in our calendar, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu continued to make bad events occur to Klai Yisrael on that very day. And many, many difficulties, tzaros for Klai Yisrael occurred on that day. D'amar Mar, because Mar said, the Master said, B'tisha B'av, Chorav HaBayis B'Rishona U'B'Shniyah, both the first and second Beis HaMikdash were destroyed. So that's two additional things. The third thing that we bring down, B'Nukut HaBeitar. So after the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, there was a third commonwealth that occurred for a short period of time, 2.5 years under Bar Kokhba, originally with the approval of Rabbi Akiva, and then Nebuch, the Jewish population, was again wiped out in Eretz Yisrael, and this great city of Beit, which had millions and millions of people, was wiped out. So Beit was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And the fourth thing that we mentioned over here is V'nechusha Ha'ir, that the Har HaBayis was plowed under, and that also occurred on Tisha B'Av. And therefore, Tisha B'Av is unique, and we do send out messengers. You don't have the right, so to say, not to fast on Tisha B'Av, but Shavasa B'Tamas and Asar B'Tavis, if in those days they Chazal got together and said, no, Baruch Hashem, things are pretty good right now, and we don't think it's necessary to fast, so they had the right to do it in those days. Tanya, we learned another right. So Rabbi Shimon says, Arba'a Dvarim, Hay Rabbi Akiva Doresh. However, Vani ain't Doresh Kamosa. There were four things that Rabbi Akiva darshaned. We'll see, it means four psukim, four different psukim. And Rabbi Shimon says, I disagree with my Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, in all four of these psukim. In general, I follow the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had great, great Talmidim. And most of the time, the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva followed what he did. And therefore, here it's unique. Rabbi Shimon says, I disagree with my Rabbi, Rabbi Akiva, in four things. What are those four things? So Rashi says, go look elsewhere in the Gemara in Sota, what those four things are. But our Gemara only mentions one, but I'll mention, because Rashi alludes to them, so I'll mention them. The first one, not in the order from Rashi, but in the order of Chumash, is Bateres Sora, as Ben Hagar HaMitzvisa Sheyoldo Avram Mitzachek. Right? This week's Parsha. Hagar is kicked out because Yishmael is causing Yitzchak Rachmon Litzlan to go off the derech. So therefore, we darshan that pasuk in the following way. Machlok is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Akiva darshan the pasuk, Shoy Yishmael, Oved Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Shimon was Oved Avodah Zarah. And Sarah said, get him out of my house. I don't want an idol worshiper in my house. He could corrupt Yitzchak. Rabbi Shimon disagreed with Rabbi Akiva's drasha. Instead, Rabbi Shimon said that you know what Yishmael's sin was? He was Mitzachik. He was making fun of Yitzchak and saying, you think you're the Bechor? I'm the Bechor. I'm older than you. I was the firstborn of Abram, and therefore I get the Pishnaim and not you. So that's the first machlokes of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. Second one, Batzon ubakar yishchat lohem umatzol lohem v'gomer. Pasukim Bamidbar. Had Rabbi Akiva dash in this pasuk. Rabbi Akiva said that this is Moshe Rabbeinu arguing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sha'af im yishchat l'vnei Yisrael tzonu bakar l'rov lo yedai b'kach l'kulam. The people were complaining they wanted meat, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, even if you shecht a lot of meat for Klai Yisrael, you won't have enough. That was the way Rabbi Akiva understood this taina. Rabbi Shimon disagreed. He said, no, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, of course, supply all the food in the world for them. That wasn't the problem. He said, even if you do supply them all the food in the world, they're still going to complain. So that's the second difference of darshaning between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. Now the third pasuk they disagreed on is a pasuk from Nach, from Yecheskel. And it says, Ben Adam. Yecheskel is always referred to as Ben Adam. Yoshvei hacharavo so'ele al admas Yisrael omrim leimor echod hoyo Abram vayorash es ha'oretz vanachnu rabim lonu nitno ha'oretz lemor rasha. So, how does Rabbi Akiva dash in this pasuk? Rabbi Akiva explains this pasuk as follows. Shetanu b'nei Yisrael, hanisharim be'eretz Yisrael, that small remnant of Jewish people that were left in Eretz Yisrael, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, shelo yitachin she'igarshu me'eretz Yisrael, they said, oh, we will still remain in Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to kick us out totally, because Abram Avinu worshipped one God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was given all of Eretz Yisrael, so we, who are worshipping multiple gods, al achaz kama v'kama, we're certainly going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. We're not taking any chances who's the real God of Israel. So that, of course, is Abikarsus. That's horrible heresy. That's Avodah Zarah. But that's what Klai Yisrael was thinking, unfortunately, at this time. That's what Rabbi Akiva's understanding of this pasuk. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Rabbi Shimon says, no, they said as follows: Shem Avram Shalom Nitzave El Mitzvah Achas Bovat. Avram Avinu got Eretz Yisrael, even though he only had one mitzvah, Bris Mila. So we who have so many mitzvahs, certainly we deserve Eretz Yisrael. So these are the three differences that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon had in these three psukim. But that's all from Rashi alluded to, and now we get to our Gemara. Our Gemara tells us here, Rabbi Shimon says there's one thing related to our Gemara right now that I disagree with Rabbi Akiva. And that is the drasha of the pasuk that we just brought down, Tzom HaRevi, Tzom HaChamishi, etc. So how does Rabbi Akiva darsh it? Rabbi Shimon will darsh it in a moment differently. So Rabbi Akiva darsh in Tzom HaRevi is at Tisha B'Tammuz. He said that's the fourth month Tammuz, but it doesn't refer to Shavuos B'Tammuz. It refers to the ninth of Tammuz. The first base of Midrash was actually Hufkoir. Shavu Hufkoir was on the ninth of Tammuz, as the Psukim tell us. And it's only the second Beis Hamikdash was a Shavuos B'Tammuz, and since it would be too difficult for us to fast on the ninth day and the 17th day of Tammuz, so therefore Chazal said the second Beis Hamikdash is closer to us. We are mourning that because the first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, but then it was rebuilt. So we're really mourning the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. So therefore, when they set up a fast day in Tammuz, they set it up on the 17th day and not on the ninth day. Tosfos brings down a Yerushalmi, a phenomenal Yerushalmi, that says no. The first Beis Hamikdash was also the Hufkoir. The city walls were breached on Shavuos B'Tammuz. The pasuk says it was the ninth day of Tammuz. No, the people were so bamboozled, the people were so persecuted that they forgot the date. And they said it was the ninth day of Tammuz, really it was the 17th day of Tammuz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for whatever the reason, codified that in the Navi to say that it was the ninth day, even though it really was the 17th day. In any event, that's Rabbi Akiva's drasha. That's what the Tzom HaRevi means. It means Tammuz. And it says, Shenemra, Bechodesh HaRevi, B'tisha L'chodesh. That's what the pasuk says. V'yechazak Rav Ba'ir, the people were famished, V'lo yolechem la'am ha'aretz, they had no food. And at that point in time, Nebuchadnezzar, Baruch Hu, allowed Nebuchadnezzar and his wicked army to go and destroy, or begin to destroy Yerushalayim by breaching the wall. So that's the Tzom HaRevi. The pasuk continues and it says, V'amai kari l'Revi. Why is it called Tzom HaRevi? Because Revi l'chadashim, because it was the fourth month. And as we'll see, Rabbi Akiva counted all of these four events, the Tzoms, the fourth, fifth, seventh, and tenth month Tzoms, so he counted them in order of the calendar year, starting from Nisan, and that's why they mentioned this order. They're not mentioned the chronological order, but they mentioned in order of which month they occurred. So that's Revi L'Chadashim, that's Tammuz. Tzom HaChamishi, that's a reference to Av, said Tisha B'Av, and specifically Tisha B'Av. Shavu Nisraf, Beis Elokim, the Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, both first and second, on Tisha B'Av. But my Karli Chamishi was called the fifth month. Again, as we said, Chamishi L'Chadashim, because it's the fifth month of the year from Nisan. Then Tzom HaShvi, Zesh Losh V'Tishrei, that's Tzom Gedaya's assassination on the third day of Tishrei. In fact, he was actually killed, according to many, on the first day of Tishrei. Not everybody agrees to that, but most agree that it was the first day of Tishrei, because we don't fast on Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, first and second day. So therefore, we commemorate the assassination of Gedaya with Tzom Gedaya on the third day of Tishrei. If the third day happens to be Shabbos, so then it's commemorated on the fourth day. Fine. So why is this called over here Tzom HaShvi'i? So Shebo Nera Gedaya ben Achikam, that the great last remnant leader of Klai Yisrael after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, was Gedaya ben Achikam, and he didn't want to take Lashon Hara, that somebody was trying to kill him. He made a mistake in doing not accepting that Lashon Hara. You don't have to accept Lashon Hara, but you're allowed to take Lashon Hara that you hear to heart and protect yourself and prevent yourself from getting into trouble. So he didn't listen to that, and Nebuchadnezzar got killed. Who killed him? Mi Harogo? Another Yid. Yishmael ben Nisanya Harogo. He killed him. And that really was the end of the Bayis Rishon period of time, because there was a remnant in Klai Yisrael there, but that destroyed the last remnant, and they left and went to Mitzrayim. And this teaches us, Lamedcha Sheshkula Misasa Shel Tzadikim Kisreipas Beis Elokeinu, that we list this amongst the tragedies of the Beis HaMikdash, even though it was post-Beis HaMikdash destruction, because when a great tzaddik like Gedaya ben Achikam was assassinated, so this is a terrible day for Klai Yisrael, it's like Kisreipas Beis Elokeinu. And why is it called the seventh month? V'amai korele Shvi, the seventh tzom. Shvi lechadash, because it's a tzom that's in the seventh month, Tishrei. Then finally it says, Tzom Vasiri, that's a reference to Asar B'Teves, as we mentioned, Shebo Somach Melech Bavel al Yerushalayim. This was the start of the siege, 2.5 years before the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, when Nebuchadnezzar sent his armies to siege Yerushalayim. And it's supposed to say, Shemim HaBehid V'Hashem Elai, Bashono HaTshiyas. It was in the ninth year, Bachodesh Vasiri, in the tenth month, Be'asor Lachodesh, on the tenth day of the month, Asar B'Teves. And what did it say? Lamar, it said as follows, Ben Adam, Kisov Lucho Hashem Hayom, Es Etzem Hayom Hazet, Sonach Melech Babel Yerushalayim. They were in Babel. They didn't have instantaneous communication. They didn't have instant messenger or emails or tweets. So they had no idea what was happening. So the Nebuah came to Yechezkel and said, I want you to know, when you find this out, I'm telling you now that on Asar B'Teves, the siege just started. They didn't find out about this till much later. So the Nebuah was given to Yechezkel to tell all the people that the walls of Yerushalayim have been surrounded. By my Korle Asiri, again, why is this called the Tzom Asiri? Again, Asiri L'Chadoshim. Again, Rabbi Kiva's sheet is that this is the 10th month of the year, which of course is Teves. Now, technically, this was the first in the order of events. The order of events, first there was a siege, then they broke the walls, then they destroyed the base of Megdash, and then, only afterwards, was Gedaliah killed. So that would have been the right order. But how come it's not in that order? Because because they put him in the order of the months, albeit not chronological in terms of their occurrence in time. That was Rabbi Akiva's position. And Rabbi Shimon said, Vani Eini Omer Kein. I disagree with my Rabbi Akiva. This is the fourth one. We mentioned the other three earlier. This is the fourth one that he disagrees with the darshaning of the Pesukim. He says, Elotzom Wasiri. You know what that means? Zechamisha Beteves. This is the fifth day of Teves. Now, what happened on the fifth day of Teves? Shebo Bos Shmuel Agola. On the fifth day of Teves, they were informed that the Beis HaMikdash Nebuch was destroyed on that day. So this occurred on the fifth day of Teves. Shabbat Bosh Shmuel Gola. They only heard about this now. Shuk Soyer, that on Tisha B'Av, the city had been destroyed. It took them that long, all the way from Tisha B'Av, go around until Teves, the fifth of the month of Teves, to let them know that the city of Yerushalayim was destroyed. Shenemar, was in the 12th year, Basiri, on the 10th month, Bachamish Lachodesh, on the 5th day of the month of Teves, Legalusenu, into our Galus already, Boyelayapolit, Yerushalayim, Lemor Huxoyer. Only then did Yechezkel hear that the city had been destroyed, Nebuch, the base of Megiddo had been destroyed. But also Yom Shmuel, Yom Sreifa, and since they heard about it on this day, they held that it was a tragedy, just like the day it was burned, and they fasted on the 5th of Teves. Now, how do you reconcile that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon seem to be arguing about Metzias? Well, just look. Do they fast on Asar B'Teves or do they fast on the 5th of Teves? So the Mefarshim answer that basically there was decreed that there would be a fast in Teves. But it was up to the Chazal each year to decide what day it would be. So in some years they had it on the 5th of Teves, and some years they had it on Asar B'Teves, until eventually it was codified that everybody should have it the same day, so they codified it as being Asar B'Teves. But at this point in time, it could be on the 5th day of Teves. Fine. This is the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara tells us, V'nirin devarai midvarav. The Brisa continues and says, Rabbi Shimon says, I think my answer is better than Rabbi Akiva's answer, because I, Shani Omer al Rishon Rishon, I go in the chronological order of events. And therefore, the first one that was listed was Shavuos B'Tammuz. The next one that was listed is, in fact, Tisha B'Av. The next one that's listed is, in chronological events, Gedaliah's death. And then, the people in the Golos, they only found out about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash later that year in Teves. So everything is listed in chronological order. And that's why it's listed the way it is. And as well, it's listed also in the order of the months. So Rabbi Shimon has the best of both worlds. He has both in order of the months as well as in a chronological order. However, Rabbi Akiva only has it in the order of the months. V'omer arishon achron v'alach arishon, because Rabbi Akiva says that the first event that occurred, which is a Asar B'Teves, according to Rabbi Akiva, that occurred 2.5 years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that should have been listed first, according to Rabbi Shimon's understanding. And therefore, since Rabbi Akiva listed it last, it's incorrect, because that should have been listed first. He listed the item that occurred, Rishon Achron, Yal Achron Rishon. And likewise, events that occurred later on, he listed them earlier. El Shunoman Seyle Chadosh. Rabbi Shimon understood what Rabbi Akiva did. However, he only fulfilled, so to say, the order of the months. Bani Mone Leseyde Paronius as well. I listed in chronological order as well as in order of the months. Fine. Mora says, Itmar. It was said over in the Beis HaMedrash about Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus was one of the earliest works. It was written down by Hananya ben Chizkiah, and he wrote down all of these minor holidays. These were days that were minor celebrations of the Jewish people. They were saved from some tzara, and they wrote them down in Megillas Tainus, and they would have it in that you weren't allowed to fast or have hespedim on those days, or sometimes even the day before or afterwards, as we'll see in the Gemara. So this sefer, known as Megillas Tainus, Semachokis, was it only for a short period of time, and then it was revoked, or did it persist? So what is a machlokas itmar? Rav, Rav Chanina Amre, bat l'megillas tainis, and Rav Yochanan and Rav Yishuv and Levi Amre, lo bat l'megillas tainis. So Rav and Rav Chanina say the Megillas tainis had a time span, it was an expiration date. And at some point in time, the rabbi said, no more Megillas tainis. And Rav Yochanan and Rav Yishuv and Levi said, no, it still was extant. Lo bat l'megillas tainis. What's going on over here? So Rav and Rav Chanina Amre bat l'megillas tainis. They said that Megillas tainis went out of business, so to say, it no longer was used. This is what they meant. Bisman Shiei Shalom, when there is no persecution of the Jewish people, so then all of the tzomos, as we just said, the fast days, in the second Beis HaMikdash, for example, weren't fast days. Yul Sason L'Simcha, they were days of enjoyment, they were days of pleasure, of Simcha, Sason and Simcha. However, Ein Shalom, when we're being persecuted, then they're days of tzom. And therefore, the same thing applies with Megillas Tainis. V'Hanach Nami, all the days that are enumerated in Megillas Tainis, Ki Hane, they are the same, they're treated the same way as the four fasts that we have over here, the Solom Arvi, Chamishi, Shvi, and Nasiri. Just like they are cancelled when there is Shalom, so too, Megillas Tainis was batel, it was cancelled when there was Shalom. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuba Levi, Amri, Lobon Megillas Tainis. Why not? Because this has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, so then we understand why those four fast days fell by the wayside to a certain extent, and they were days of Simcha now. So Hani, who the Tolinu, Rachmon, have been in the Beis HaMikdash. They were totally in the Beis HaMikdash, and when the Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt, so those fast days went away. But all the days of Megillas Tainis had nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash, Aval Hanach, Kidekaimi, Kaimi. And therefore, why shouldn't they still exist? That's the Machlokas. Masa Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana asks on Rav and Rav Chanina. He says, wait a second, the Braisa says, Maisa v'gazu tainis v'chanukah b'lud. Something happened, and it was on Chanukah in Lud, and the people there were gozer a tainis. Now, you're not allowed to have a hesped or a tainis on Chanukah. So, what happened? The great sages of the day were unhappy. The Yodra Rabbi Eliezer v'rochat, so Rabbi Eliezer wanted to demonstrate that this is not a tainis, because you're not supposed to really take a bath on a tainis. So Yorid Rabbi Eliezer v'rochat, so he went down to the bathhouse and he washed himself to demonstrate it's not a tainis. Rabbi Shua Siper, Rabbi Shua went and cut his hair. Normally you don't take a haircut on a tainis. So by Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shua, the Gdolei Hador, demonstrating that it wasn't the tainis by their actions, so they taught the people that you don't make a tainis on Chanukah. Now, if Megillah's tainis was in fact batel, so Chanukah and Purim as well are listed in Megillas Tainis. So if you're telling me they're batel, so then Chanukah no longer exists. So therefore, what did the people do wrong that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua have to go and publicly contradict them? And they said further, as the Braisa continues, Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua said to the people in Lud, they said, "Tzu, go, v'is'anu amashe asyanisem, that you fasted incorrectly on Chanukah. You got to take a Tainis to make up for the fact that you fasted incorrectly on Chanukah." So again, if Rav and Rabbi Chanina say that Megillas Tainis was batel, so Chanukah was batel. And therefore, what did they do wrong? So that's Rav Kahana's question. Rav Yosef answers, and he says, no, shiny Chanukah. Chanukah is different, and in fact, that is the halacha, the Chanukah and Purim, which are listed in Megillas Tainis, are still extant today, whereas all of the other holidays mentioned in Megillas Tainis are in fact batel. So shiny Chanukah. Chanukah is different because the Ika Mitzvah, because Chanukah has Mitzvah associated with it, and we're not going to give up that Mitzvah. Either it's Torah Hadlokas Neros, or the Mitzvah of saying Halal, Shevach V'Yodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon saving us. So Chanukah is different than all these other days that don't have a Mitzvah specifically attached to them. More questions this. Amalei Abai, Abai says to Rav Yosef, wait a second. V'tibotol ihi v'tibol mitzvasa. So I don't understand. If Megillas Tainis is batel, so let Chanukah be batel, and let the Mitzvah associated with Chanukah be batel. So what are you going to say to that? So Rav Yosef responds, and he says, Elam Rav Yosef, no problem. Shiny Chanukah again. Chanukah is different because the Mefirsam Nisa, because that's Pirsume Nisa, that's publicizing a great miracle by lighting the candles, and therefore we still want to go and do that, even though the rest of Megillas Tainis is going to be batel. Where I ask another question on Rav and Rabbi Chanina, mostly Rav Acha Baruna asks on Rav and Rabbi Chanina from Megillas Tainis itself. One of the things it says in Megillas Tainis is B'tloso B'tishrei, on the third day of Tishrei, which is Tzom Gedalia, but that's not what it mentions in Megillas Tainis. It says there, on the third day of Tishrei, B'telas Atkarta Min Shtaraya, that they no longer had Atkarta, which is a zikaron of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name was removed from being in the shtaros, because, as we'll see, people throw away a shtar, they're going to end up throwing away HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So therefore, they finally got the people to stop writing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name in the shtaros, as we'll see. The because the Yevonim had said, you're not allowed to mention Hashem's name in general. And Baruch Hashem, when the Cheshbonoim came, they got rid of that decree. When the Cheshbonoim defeated the Yevonim, so then, Hiskinu Shimaskirim Shem Shemaim, Afil B'Shtarim. So they want the people to again be able to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and they instituted it to even put it into shtaros, into documents. And this is what they would write in these documents. They would write in this year of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, so that they would properly date the document, not to have it predated. And then they would add on Lekel Elyon. This was Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Lekel Elyon. He was the Kohen Gadol to the Supreme God, Lekel Elyon. Now, when the rabbis heard about this, they weren't happy with this. Amru, they said, what's going to happen to the shtar? Zeporeya etzchovo. The person's going to repay the shtar, the debt in the shtar, and they're going to rip up the shtar. Benimtzah shtar mutol biyashu. They're going to throw it in the garbage. They rip it up and throw it in the garbage. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Lekel Elyon, is going to be in the garbage. So therefore, they finally convinced the people, Ubitlum, not to do this anymore. And also yom, also yomtiv. And therefore, they were successful in making this day a yomtiv. So that's what happened on the third day of Tishrei, that it is listed in Megillas Tainis as a minor holiday. So what's the question? Here's the question that we finally ask. Rav Acha Buhuna says, V'isoka daitoch botl Megillas Tainis. If, in fact, Rab and Rabbi Chanina, you say that there is no more Megillas Tainis, so kamaisa botl. If you're telling me that we don't have the Tanesim anymore, so that it's Bato, so they're going to add on a later one? This occurred much, much later. This occurred around the time of Hanukkah and the Yevanim, much, much later. So the rest of Megillas Tainis has been Bato, and then now they're adding on additional things. Doesn't make any sense. Rav says, yes, it does. Hachamayiskin, you know what we're talking about? Bisman she Beis HaMikdash Kayim. No, this occurred while the Beis HaMikdash was still extant, the second Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, you can't argue that all of the other Tanesim were removed and this Tanis was now added on afterwards. No, it was during the second Beis HaMikdash, and that's why the other Tanesim weren't there, because there was during the second Beis HaMikdash period of time when the Tanesim was celebrated as Yom Tovim. But therefore, this has nothing to do with Megillas Tainis, whether it was Batal or not. And in fact, Rabbi Chanina would say that it was Batal. This is a good break point over here, right at the very top of the Daf, and we'll continue in this discussion more tomorrow. But with this, we'll conclude today's shiur.